This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Well, good morning. Here's your ESPN Radio
good morning
three-day forecast brought to you by the Illini Inn. Good morning.
Morning.
I'm going to run through it again. Mouthwatering burgers, hand-tossed pizzas, beer, wings, grinders, nachos, mozzarella sticks, beer batter,
good chance
curds.
I'll be there tomorrow, maybe. Illinois, Maryland.
Okay, 4 o'clock?
Yeah, 4 o'clock. I can't see you again. I'll move over.
Well, I'll move over.
Oh, there we go.
It makes it easier if I swing over.
Well, it's just better with communication skills if we can actually see.
Sure. Yeah. Right, that makes sense. Right now it's 37 and sunny, getting down to 29. Weird forecast because tomorrow's going to be in the 50s. Sunday's going to be in the 50s. Monday's going to be in the 50s, and Tuesday the high is 22.
So I've got to get my leaves raked or mowed.
Yeah.
I know I got somebody to just mow them, Lon.
Tuesday's probably your last, or I'm sorry, Monday is your last warm day of the year and the season, of course, because it drops 30 degrees, and Tuesday the high is 22. But again, right now it is sunny, actually, and 37.
Okay.
ESPN Radio.
Let's roll.
And here we go.
That is Derek's dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
Drive in the tube.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us. Gee.
Let's go for a little ride.
Well, here we are. Here we go. Well, it's Friday. That's the best news I've heard all day. It is Friday. Welcome, everybody, into The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lante, Derek Piper, back from Chicago at the Bears-Cowboys game.
Temporarily.
Yeah. And Trevor Valise, who we just found out, has Frozen, the movie Frozen 2 stickers on his laptop.
Not by choice.
Oh, that's kind of cool. You don't have to be ashamed of that.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
We're in a safe space here.
Yeah. Come on. You can do that. Actually, I think Hans D.
Hans was the culprit because I looked down at my laptop and there was a new sticker.
Trevor, you put it on.
Hans, your button's not on.
It's on.
Professional.
It's on.
It's still not on.
That's your fault.
Now it is.
That's your fault.
There's something wrong with you over there, Lon.
No.
No?
It's on.
Is it in program?
It's in program. Everything's... Well, we're not going to hear from Hans today.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Hans. I don't know what's going on, but Hans did that. All right, Bears, Cowboys, we'll talk all about it. I guess from watching everything I've seen on Twitter, that Mitch Trubisky is the best quarterback in the world now.
So we will
talk about that. We'll also talk about Illinois traveling to face number 3 Maryland in College Park tomorrow. We'll do a Bears segment. We'll do a little drive time. We got Who You Got, Grab Bag Edition. And then we'll do some Illinois predictions and our college football playoff bowl selection predictions on championship weekend predictions. And we'll talk about the selection show that will be coming up on Sunday. Of course, Illinois waiting to find out what bowl they're going to. But we start with Illinois basketball. And, Derek, good news today for the Illini and another guy joining the squad, I guess.
Yeah, another weapon to have. Probably off the bench, as you would assume, Tevian Jones. We know he can be a shot maker. Good length, one of the better athletes on the team for sure, 6'7". So will make his debut in College Park tomorrow after serving an 8-game suspension. Had one last year for violating team rules. This was academic policy. But, of course, you know that he's got pretty good upside.
Yeah.
Good talent. And even if he's just replacing Kipper's minutes at the 3/4 coming in on the wing and maybe knocking down some shots. He had 18 against Maryland last year in that upset win. He was a big key in that game.
I was going to say he's averaging 18 a game on the road against Maryland. Of course, that was non-conference. What does he bring to the team? Not that we didn't watch Tev, you know, last year and understand kind of what he does. But what will he bring? I mean, number one, depth, obviously. And like you just said, kind of fill in maybe a little bit more minutes than what Kipper would give you. But what do you see and how do you see how quickly he gels into the team? I mean, does Brad Underwood throw him in big minutes tomorrow, in other words, or do we know?
I don't know. That'll be interesting. It'll be up to how he's been playing in practice, which we haven't really gotten a chance to see. And I know that he's a shot maker. I know that he's got a knack for being able to catch and shoot on the perimeter, and Illinois needs more of those guys.
Sure.
And to be able to emerge and do that. And if some go in, I think it's kind of a feel thing. If he gets those opportunities and he puts a couple down, then you probably roll with him. Because I think defensively, that's where he has some areas that he can hurt you a little bit.
Yeah.
Not only just team chemistry-wise, but he's not very laterally quick. And Maryland in particular likes to play small. They have some good athletes. They could pose some problems, but of course they're going to pose some problems for Kipper or Georgie or whoever's at that spot. So if Tev can give you some offense and provide a spark, I think that he's someone you're going to use right away.
I think it'll be interesting, Trevor. You've got a guy that, you know, is feeling it when he – I mean, if there's one team – and I think it really does happen like that. I can remember back in high school, you may do really well against one team, and it just seemed like when you played that team, your confidence was sky high. I mean, Tev, coming into this game, he could really give a little boost to an Illinois team, and I think they're going to need it, obviously, tomorrow.
By the way, several people have texted me that they heard Hans.
Oh, they did?
So I don't know what's
but
going on.
But the three of us
here.
Didn't, right?
We didn't hear him.
That's interesting.
Maybe it's a problem on our end.
Ah.
So the audience heard Hans,
okay.
I guess, but
oh.
We didn't hear Hans.
Sorry,
what you say, Hans.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Mark Turgeon's got to be going like, oh, yeah, sure, this is convenient timing, right?
Uh-huh.
Tevian Jones killed him last year, and then he's back just in time for the similar game this year. But, yeah, I mean, I don't have a ton of analysis on this. My analysis would simply be, if this means less minutes for Kipper, then I'm all for it.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I'm just saying, I mean, if this means he can slot into that role and I think he can be much better in that role, then I'm all for it.
You've got your game, opening game of the Big Ten is at number three, Maryland. I mean, you really, I don't know that you could call it any tougher unless you were maybe at Ohio State or at a Michigan. I mean, not only are you playing maybe the best team in the Big Ten, but also playing them on the road in a true road game. I mean, this is not an easy thing, Derek, but especially coming off that game against Miami, I don't know how hard or how easy it's going to be to forget that game. I know I saw a tweet today that Brad Underwood said, hey, we kind of just cleared the air. We just started looking at a bunch of different things. We kind of just all sat down and just, you know, had a little conversation about what the heck is going on. I just personally, I would find it really hard to come back from a game against Miami and a game that you should win. And you should be sitting here at 7-1, right? You should be sitting here 7-1, feeling good, going into Big Ten play, and now all of a sudden you're coming off that game. I don't know. I don't think I'd feel good if I were Illinois going to College Park, or maybe on the flip side, maybe they need a game like this where it's kind of like, you know what, you're not going to win the game anyway. I mean, they can. I'm just saying that like kind of in a context, like you're not going to win anyway. Just go have some fun, see what happens.
Yeah, there's that, but I also think it could be a good thing if you don't forget that game. It could bother you. Miami was bothered by the fact that they had lost by 20 to Florida and 25 to UConn and then got another opportunity on somebody's home floor, and they were angry.
Yeah.
And they got confidence early on, and this Illinois team obviously beat Maryland last year, so I think that's in their head that we can beat this team. And then also we need to account for the fact that we gave one away on our home floor.
Right.
And this team needed a wake-up call. Of course, you would have liked the fact that if Io scores that or he kicks it to Felice and you hit the three and you get away with a win and still get it, still get to get shook up a little bit and not acting so cool or we've arrived or anything like that, to play with some urgency. So I think the urgency factor is a good thing. It's needed, of course, when you're playing number three, Maryland, number four, Michigan. But, yeah, that one's going to stick with you, but maybe it could be a benefit.
Okay.
So I was thinking about the Miami game and the thing we're talking about.
Have you calmed down from that game?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you because I know you were as fired up as I've ever seen you, and I've known you, what, 3 years?
There's about, like, one or two sporting events a year that get me fired up.
Yeah.
Now, it used to be way more.
Right.
You know, in my formative years. But now I calm
before you
down
turn 21.
Right. Now I'm 22 and I'm an old man.
Yeah, know, right.
So.
Now you're.
So I was thinking about this. We were talking about confidence and how it's kind of bothersome that they have this sort of, you know, brash cockiness to them. In a way, I feel like the Miami game could not have ended worse because you had the worst of both worlds in that, you know, they were down big, So then you think, okay, the Miami game's a wake-up call. But then they actually come back.
Right.
So my fear would be walking away from that game, they're thinking, we could be down 45-18 in the first half and still have a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
And I'd be afraid that it lends to that cockiness.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
No. I see what you're saying.
I'm not saying that's necessarily the case, but I would say the worst-case scenario outcome of making that game close again is that they return to that level of, well, we can do this.
I see what you're saying, but I don't think that's the case.
All right.
I think the L just supersedes anything.
Okay.
I think the loss
you're
just...
You're probably right. I'm just pointing out that, you know, if they've been
going.
Down 45-18 and got, you know, the worst loss in State Farm Center history, then maybe that would be more sticking in their minds.
True.
Whereas the fact that they were one offensive foul away from actually winning the game,
yeah.
I don't know.
And look, you
I'm
could
just
very
theorizing
well, you
here.
Could very well be right. I think the loss is the biggest thing there, and I think they that listen. We've talked about it. It was what was it? It was Georgia Tech one year. It was Wake Forest one year. There's always the one game in the non-conference that sticks in your craw the rest of the year.
Florida Atlantic last year.
Florida Atlantic. Yeah. I mean, there's and I know you only won 12 games last year, but at the time you didn't know. But there's always just seemingly that one game that just jabs you the rest of the year. Like we can be sitting here on February 1st, and Illinois is on a three-game winning streak in the Big Ten and looking halfway decent, we'll be sitting there going, well, if you wouldn't have lost to Miami at home. You know, it's just that one game. It's the Eastern Michigan game in football.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always that one game that just annoys you, and it seems like Illinois continues to have that. And I think, so not that your theory couldn't be correct, and maybe they will be sitting there going, hey, we spotted a team, however many points that is, and we still almost won. We're still good. I just think the loss, and I'm sure Brad Underwood let him know, that the loss is something that is not good, and that's going to hurt him all year.
No, you're
for
right.
The football reference, now you need to have the Wisconsin game.
Yeah, right. Good call.
Either against Maryland or Michigan. And I don't know if they're looking so far down the road as to say, well, you know, we're not going to have the non-conference quality win, which Miami wasn't going to be anyway, but there does have to be some sort of we got to pick it up now.
Yep.
If we're going to be the team we said we were going to be, we played at Arizona and lost by 21. We were down by 27 against Miami. Those were two high major teams that we've played so far, and now we have two that are ranked inside the top five. We got to get together.
Yeah, that's totally right. And I like your analogy about having the Wisconsin game. You certainly would do that if you could win tomorrow.
Yeah,
you could certainly do that.
Hopefully someone in that locker room was bothered enough by that game that now they're going to be the leader that if anything slacks and shoot around or
right.
within early in a game, get in somebody's face or just like it didn't seem like there was anybody doing that against Miami, and someone needs to emerge in that role.
I'm not picking on Io here. I saw another thing today that Brett Behrens from Channel 3 had asked Io about the slow start, if you will. And his basic response was, look, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. But you know what? Maybe it needs to be a sprint. Maybe it needs to be a 30-game sprint. And maybe that's what Illinois' problem is the last couple of years, is we've treated this like a marathon and then all of a sudden decided to sprint at certain times of the season. Maybe you need to realize, Io and crew, this does need to be a sprint. You need to come out of the gate strong.
Yes.
Because you don't have the ability to pick up a lot of quality wins in the non-conference. Now, obviously, a Maryland, a Michigan, an Ohio State, you know, go down the line to the Big Ten, a Michigan State. I mean, I said that twice, didn't I? Michigan. I mean, you'd have a chance there to pick up a lot of quality wins, but in the non-conference, you don't have that chance. And you and I talked about how you basically just needed to avoid a bad loss, and now you've got the bad loss. Unless Miami surprises us somehow, but I don't think they will. So maybe it needs to be a sprint, and maybe that's something that this team needs to get through their head that, guys, we can't just lollygag around and then all of a sudden hope that, we'll just pick it up in January and be all right.
Yeah, you need to be able to go on a little run here. And there is a sprint here the first five games of the Big Ten when we talked about it a lot, Maryland and Michigan. After that, when it resumes, Michigan State. Purdue looked darn good against Virginia, and they're coming to your place, and then at Wisconsin, which is a house of horrors, as Lon has brought up many times. But if you don't sprint in these next two games, you're getting dusted by Michigan and Maryland.
No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And embarrassed at home
right.
would be the problem.
One thing that Io did say today, though, he took ownership and said, I got to play better.
Okay.
So I think that's a good thing to see, and I think everybody's got to kind of approach it that way.
I would agree. Maryland is a challenge, and we'll talk about this later in the show, but Maryland is a challenge with regards to athleticism. I know you said they like to play small, but they can certainly get height in there and quickness.
Cowan.
And Cowan is just unbelievably quick. You saw what happened with Likens Callen is a little bit probably taller, but I think even as quick or quicker. I don't know that I've ever seen a quicker guard in the Big Ten in recent memory, that is, than Anthony Callen. And not only that, the kick and jump.
Yep.
I mean, he can just absolutely leap. So,
and shoot.
And I mean, if you leave him open, he's going to hit the shot. So what does Illinois need to focus on, and what do they need to do? How can they negate that quickness that Maryland's going to bring to the table?
Can't turn the ball over. No. All of a sudden, that quickness is going the other way in transition, and that's going to hurt. Jalen Smith's a great athlete. He can run the floor. They have some other shooters around the perimeter. Eric Ayala, Morcell has shot the three. And then also, ball screen coverage has to be a lot better. Trent Frazier got abused a little bit, or a lot of it, against Chris Likes, and that's a tough draw for anybody, but so is Cowan, and you got to have some kind of an answer. And you don't like Kofi defending around the three-point line because he can get blown by, but then also if he doesn't step up, Cowan can hit that jump shot, and he has to account for Jalen Smith, too, who he's coming off a game where he hit two threes, and his stat total, he had 15 points, 16 rebounds, and 5 blocks.
Oh, my.
And Maryland is really good at contesting around the paint. They're 7th in the country in 2-point field goal percentage defense, which means they're going to pack it in. And until Illinois hits enough threes, hopefully Tev's one of those guys that can make a team honest, that's where they're focusing in, cutting driving lanes and focusing on Kofi.
Isn't it funny that we talked all week about how Sean Harrington alluded to it, we alluded to it, how you gave Miami a couple of open looks. They hit those and then became confident. And we just talk about now, and I'm not trying to rip what you're saying, but it strikes me, we talk about how Maryland is probably going to pack it in and let us shoot threes wide open. Essentially. I mean, they'll try to get. But isn't it funny that you think about that? And it all comes back to this. In other words, I'm supporting what you're saying. It all comes back to that. You got to have shooters. Yeah. You got to have guys that if you're open, they make the shot. Right now, I don't know that Illinois has a lot of guys that even if they're open, they're going to make the shots. And that's troublesome for me, and it seems like that's been that for a while, and we talked about it. I mean, if you're another team, your scouting report against Illinois is, do not give Trent Frazier an open shot. Try not to give Io an open shot. Other than that, you're golden.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's kind of what it would be. And with regards to Cowan, he's so quick, and think Likes, you know, and how Kofi would come up to hedge, Likes would get right by him. And I almost wish, and I know Cowan, listen, I've seen him do this. I've seen him hit that 15-footer, and every guard in America should be able to hit an elbow jumper, right? But I almost wish Kofi early in the game would kind of stay down low and stay planted. And if Cowan can hit a couple, then you know you got to get out there. What if he misses a couple?
Yeah.
Then maybe all of a sudden now he's thinking to himself, well, why isn't that going down? Maybe then you've got your game plan in place. I think that's how I would maybe approach this if I was Brad Underwood going into a game against Anthony Cowan. Not that it's smart to just let him have open shots, but I think early on, instead of letting him blow right by you, which he's going to do, and he's going to feed then Jalen Smith for a dunk, instead of doing that, I think I'd almost hedge a little, but stay secure underneath and let Cowan beat you from 17 instead of feeding Smith for a dunk.
Yeah, hopefully buy Trent enough time to get back, and Trent's going to have to fight through screens a lot better. But as you mentioned, you know, 15-footers are harder than layups. And also Jalen Smith, he's capable of hitting the three, but still career 26% three-point shooter. So make him prove that he's going to make that jumper and guard against the roll, because lobs to Smith for dunks or Cowan blowing by you for layups.
Yeah.
That's what you got to guard against first and foremost, and hope that maybe you're fortunate enough that they don't make those shots that Miami hit early.
I asked this question because of what happened late in that game. It seemed like in the second half, guys, Io decided to check Likes, pick him up at half, and it kind of made a difference, right? So I ask you guys, who is the best defender on this team? I mean, they put Frazier on Likes. And look, just because of what Likes did, I'm not all of a sudden meaning that Trent Frazier's a bad defender, but do you almost, with the length that Io has, and he's got some quickness, do you almost start Io, because of what you saw late in the game against Miami, do you almost start Io on a guy like
Cowan?
Cowan, excuse me, instead of Trent?
It's an interesting thought. Io can be very impactful. He just has been inconsistent with his effort and how locked in he is defensively. Trent is your most consistent perimeter defender, I think. Dre has ability as well.
Yeah.
But as we've seen with Trent, whether it was, you know, against Likes or against Wheeler from Penn State or Fennessy last year, those guys gave him problems. Those are guys that are really quick and just attacked him off the bounce. Cowan's going to do that. I think that Trent did a good job against Cowan though last year, and that'll be interesting. But Io for sure, and I like the fact that he wanted the draw against Likes late.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to see that earlier too.
Yeah.
This guy's scoring, like, put me on him.
Yeah, exactly.
I can challenge. I'm 6'4". He's 5'7". Let me get a hand in his face.
I think sometimes the height can make somebody uncomfortable. And I think I wish I would have seen that. Like you said, I wish I would have seen that earlier in the game. All right, Derek Piper attended the Chicago Bears game last night. Trevor Valise watched the Chicago Bears game last night. I kept track of the Chicago Bears game. I had a game.
Still alive.
And they're still alive. They win. Dallas. I want to ask you guys about Dallas. But of course, if you listen to the Will Cain show, you know all about
that. That's right.
I mean, even today driving up, I'm like, oh, imagine that. I basically listen to the Will Cain.
I have no problem with today because it's after a Cowboys
game. You're right.
I'm talking about like the random June Wednesday when you turn on the radio and he goes, so Jason Garrett, and you're like, come on.
Or Dak Prescott. And it's like, oh, my goodness. And not to rip on a show preceding us, but it doesn't
have any effect on us.
When I listen to it, it's from like 2:45 to 3 as I'm driving in. And I'm not kidding you, 80% of the time, and I was quiet there for the effect, 80% of the time I turn on the Will Cain show and they're talking Dallas Cowboys or Dak Prescott. And it is just, maybe they don't talk about it for 2 hours and 45 minutes and only talk about it for 15 when I'm listening, but I'm like, are you kidding me? To the point where I'm almost about to tweet in and say, oh, imagine that. Will Cain show talking about Dallas Cowboys.
We precede the second and third hours of the show.
Yeah.
So maybe the first hour is the one that's loaded up with Cowboys talk because it's the only one that we air.
Wow.
But you're right.
He talks more Cowboys than we talk Illinois in general. And I feel like we talk a lot of Illinois. All right, we're going to talk Bears when we come back. Derek was there. I want to ask him about that game. Is this a kind of a turning point for the Bears? We looked at what they have on their schedule coming up. It's still not easy. I think it's still going to be really tough for them to make it, but you take them one game at a time. That's what the athletes tell me and the coaches. Hey, you can find us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5.
Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to TanePiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at ESPNCU.com. You can watch us live on YouTube. Just search Tane Piper or The Drive 93.5.
359-2255. That's 359-CALL. That's how you get your questions in. We got who you got coming up later. And we'll talk a little bit about, I think everybody knows kind of where we want Illinois to go in the bowl. But we can talk again before the end of the show. Where do you want to go in what bowl game?
Who do you want to play?
Isn't this fun?
Yes.
I mean, that just hit me again. Like, here we are on December 6th, and we're gearing up for Sunday to find out who Illinois plays in a bowl game and who we want to play. That's even better, right? So who do you want to do that? I think you know who I want to play. I know where Trevor wants to go. Derek's the crapshoot here. I'm not sure of what he wants. So we'll find that out before the show is over. Again, 359-2255. It is The Drive.
Champion Outdoors, located on South Neal Street. They carry top quality outerwear like Patagonia, the North Face, Columbia, and more. Not sure what you need to fight the ever-changing central Illinois weather? Talk to one of their experts in store. They'll help you find the best jacket to fit your lifestyle and needs, whether you're planning to climb a mountain or just walking down Main Street. Need something cozy for around the house? Bundle up in a Patagonia Better sweater. Want something to keep you warm as you trek across campus? Their staff will help you find the right fit for you. Stop in at Champaign Outdoors today.
Fly into the holiday season with Cardinals Ticket Packs. 5, 6, and 10 game ticket packs are on sale now and feature the season's top games and promotional dates. Choose from the opening day pack, the jersey pack, the bobblehead pack, weekend packs, and more. For a limited time, upgrade your pack to a premium pack to guarantee all-included promo items. Ticket packs start at just $54 and are on sale now. Get yours at cardinals.com/holiday. St. Louis Cardinals, time to fly.
Fly into the holiday season with all-inclusive Cardinals tickets. All-inclusive tickets start at just $54 and feature a full buffet, complimentary bar, plus a great view of the game. Choose from the newly renovated Legends Club, the UMB Champions Club, Proficient Red Jacket Club, National Car Rental Club, and more. Give the gift of date nights, the gift of family time, the gift of Cardinals baseball. Get your single game all-inclusive tickets now at cardinals.com/holiday.
An ESPN Radio Extra Point with Mike Golic, Trey Wingo, and Mike Golic Jr.
Now, normally in that locker room anyway, I don't know how much listening goes to the coach because it's Jerry Jones. A lot of times, as Marty Schottenheimer would say, the players look past the coach, who they're hearing white noise from anymore, to the person who we listen to, the GM, the owner. But anybody who wants to lay it on that, stop it. You are a professional athlete. You know what? You just drove 17 plays and 75 yards on the first drive. So does that mean you forgot how to play after that? You forgot how to do anything? It was the coach's fault that a swing pass and a communication with a running back wasn't there? It was the coach's fault when they missed tackle after tackle after tackle after tackle? And don't tell me the coach needs to motivate the player.
No.
If I'm a pro athlete and I need the coach to motivate me, I'm in the wrong friggin' business.
Yep.
Hear more from Golic and Wingo tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
Before I got married, my dad told me, happy wife, happy life.
Really? Mine told me, get her bling, you'll be king.
That man's a genius.
Your JCPenney associate will help you find something that sparkles as much as she does. Shop select fine jewelry up to 60% off. Plus, save an extra 40% with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. JCPenney rewards members get select diamond jewelry for just $25. JCPenney. Offers valid 12-5 to 12-11. Credit offers subject to credit approval. $25 diamond jewelry excluded from coupon. Other exclusions apply. See jcp.com for coupon and details.
The Home Depot is giving Santa's Workshop a run for its money with free power tools from top brands like DeWalt, Milwaukee, Ridgid, Ryobi, and Makita. Buy a select power tool or battery kit from any one of these trusted brands and get another select tool from the same brand free. Even Santa can't beat that. Free select power tools from top brands only from the Home Depot Gift Center. More saving, more doing. Valid through February 2nd while supplies last.
Hey, sweet new phone.
Yeah, I just switched to Boost Mobile and got four free Samsung Galaxy A20 phones. From the bottom, from the cane, from the struggle, from the pain.
Yeah, I got the four free phones part, but did you just quote Pitbull's song there?
No.
Yes, you did. Listen.
From the bottom, from the cane, from the struggle, from the pain.
What? I'm just telling you about Boost Mobile's super reliable, super fast network. I'm Barat, click clack, now they want to take it back.
There, you just did it again. Right after the part about the super reliable, super fast network. Listen.
No, I'm simply saying with Boost Mobile, I'm winning, 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 winning.
That's Pitbull's song.
No one says it better than Pitbull. With Boost Mobile, you're winning. Switch and get four lines for $25 per line per month. Unlimited gigs, four free Samsung Galaxy A20 phones, all in our super reliable, super fast network. Limited time offer while supplies last. Requires one port from eligible carrier and activation. One free device per line. Includes mobile optimized data. Additional terms and restrictions apply. Offers and coverage not available everywhere. See BoostMobile.com or retailer for full details.
Family is big around here. We're family owned, family operated, family managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Before I got married, my dad told me, happy wife, happy life.
Really? Mine told me, get her bling, you'll be king.
That man's a genius.
Your JCPenney associate will help you find something that sparkles as much as she does. Shop select fine jewelry up to 60% off. Plus, save an extra 40% with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. JCPenney rewards members get select diamond jewelry for just $25. JCPenney. Offers valid 12-5 to 12-11. Credit offers subject to credit approval. $25 diamond jewelry excluded from coupon. Other exclusions apply. See JCP.com for coupon details.
The Home Depot is giving Santa's Workshop a run for its money with free power tools from top brands like DeWalt, Milwaukee, Ridgid, Ryobi, and Makita. Buy a select power tool or battery kit from any one of these trusted brands and get another select tool from the same brand free. Even Santa can't beat that. Free select power tools from top brands only from the Home Depot Gift Center. More saving, more doing. Valid through February 2nd while supplies last.
At Everyday Kitchen Restaurant and Bar, we believe that food makes you feel good. Get cozy by the Open Flame Spitfire Grill and enjoy modern comfort food and drink. Dig into fresh takes on home-style favorites, including Spitfire Pot Roast or Five Cheese Mac and Cheese. Or inspire your palate with new favorites like the Philly Cheesesteak Flatbread. The expert mixologists have crafted cocktails ideal for sweater weather, including a chai apple martini or hot butter rum. Book your table at EverydayKitchen.com or visit at Neal Street and Fox Drive, now open for Saturday and Sunday brunch.
too.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey. Weekday mornings 7 to 9 here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Yeah, I had a little Kendra going there with Stevie. I liked it. All right, Derek, I'm interrupting you.
Call CMI, Chemical Maintenance Incorporated, for pricing and schedule your equipment survey today. Got heavy equipment that's not performing at 100%? CMI can help. They do preventative maintenance on wet and dry vacs, sweepers, scrubbers, and most commercial cleaning equipment. Preventative maintenance with CMI keeps your commercial cleaning equipment performing at its peak. Call CMI at 217-359-6262 today to schedule an appointment. CMI Clean, your janitorial and equipment experts.
All right, it's The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. Alec is here, so is Hans. It's Friday. I'm not going to pick on Will Kane the whole show because the guy makes a lot more money than I do, and he's a lot better than I am at radio. But somebody just said, hey, I missed the Will Kane because my combine broke down. That's never good. Assume his entire show was about Garrick. Should he be fired? And then about Dak is kind of what he was talking about. I don't know. I only listened to the last 15 minutes, but he was talking about Dak.
I heard him eating crow from callers about Dak.
Okay. Yeah. Well, how was Dak last night, Derek? You were there. How was the game?
The game was awesome. I'll give the Soldier Field credit no matter what. I mean, it was a meaningful game because technically the Bears are still alive, and the Cowboys, for as average and mediocre as they are, they're still leading their division in the playoff picture. But that place is always fun to be. It wasn't that cold. It was in the 30s. And Trubisky played his best game of the season, 4 total touchdowns, 3 through the air. I love to see the way that he used his legs. That was something that he's kind of got to buy into because he's not going to be your top-tier passer in this league. He's an athlete. He's a good athlete that can make some plays, and he ran for 61 yards and a touchdown. Dak wasn't that good. Dak is a guy that in the offseason was talking about wanting to get paid $30 million a year, and he got outplayed by Mitch Trubisky.
Mm. 4 of 5 now, the Bears have won. Trevor, I know you put this question down, but I want you to answer it. How much stock? Oh, you did not put
it. Alec wrote it.
Oh, Alec wrote it. Thank you, Alec. How much stock do you put in the Bears getting 4 to 5? 2 of those wins have been against the Lions, right? And 1
against the Giants.
Against the Giants. And 1 against the Cowboys.
I don't know. I mean, I think the Cowboys are a mirage to call them a good team. I mean, they're still in the division race for themselves because it's a terrible division.
They're 6-7 right now.
But, I mean, they just got, you know, absolutely destroyed at home by Buffalo, who I would equate, not to the Bears because the Bills have been better this year, but, you know, mediocre quarterback that's been maligned, better defense. You know, the Cowboys seem to lose these games. So I'm not putting too much stock into the Bears being back or anything because of this game last night. They look competent.
Yeah.
So I'll put stock in that, but I'm not sitting here going, okay, well, now everything's fixed.
Yeah, it's hard to romanticize this game too much because if you lose one of the next three, which is very likely looking at who those opponents are, at Green Bay,
yikes,
Kansas City at home, and then at Minnesota, then you're out of it.
Right.
So it's good to see some level of competence. I'm scared a little bit, honestly, that Mitch is starting to put it together enough to where maybe the front office goes, all right, we'll see what he got for another year.
Well, that's the concern, right, is that you're stuck in purgatory.
That's what you're worried about.
That you win last night, and then you go, like, I don't know, 1-2
in
your
next
3, so then you have the...
And he's not terrible.
Right, and again, it doesn't matter for your first-round pick because the Raiders get it, but then your second-round pick is, like, in the late 18-20 range, and then you keep Mitch, and it's like, this is bad.
It's so funny you said that, and that's why I laughed, Derek, because that was my next question, is Trubisky has been pretty good the last 2 or 3 games. I mean, is this, who's to blame early for Trubisky being bad? Is it Mitch or Mitchell, or is it Nagy?
I think both are accountable, and Mitch just wasn't good, though.
No.
I think that I would lean, if I had to stick with one of them, I would stick with Nagy.
Okay.
I think that Mitch has limited what he can play call. At the same time, I think that Nagy has not done him some favors by some – well, they can't run the ball, for one.
Right.
And then also, he just gets too cute a little bit and doesn't put him in some good situations. So it maybe overcomplicates things. So that's interesting, but I just think Mitch isn't very good. I don't like his confidence either. He doesn't seem to have the demeanor – the swag of a starting quarterback.
Shouldn't Mitch Trubisky have the biggest swag in America?
I think.
Good-looking dude. quarterback in the NFL. You look at him, I mean, if without seeing him play, without knowing a thing about the Bears, without knowing a thing about the sport, I would look at a guy like Mitch Trubisky and be like, I bet he's the cockiest dude in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he seems like he has zero confidence.
You don't want him to be maybe on the Baker Mayfield side.
No, but maybe you do.
Maybe a little bit more of that, right, for sure. That's too closer to that than what he is now. I mean, dude, a team picked you over Mahomes and Watson. Have some swag about you.
It's scary to think that. But, well, you know, why can't – I'll ask you guys this. Why can't the Bears run? Is it more of an offensive line problem? Is it more of you miss Jordan Howard? Is it more that David Montgomery isn't what you thought? Is it more of Matt Nagy not utilizing the run like he should?
He looked pretty good last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, Montgomery had 86 yards last night. They averaged 4.4 yards per carry on the ground, which, without stats in front of me, probably the best they've had.
No doubt.
Late in recent
memory. And look,
memory.
You won a game.
Yeah. I think, in general, their offensive line has been bad. They've got some injuries. You got to move on from Kyle Long. You need a new right guard next year.
Yeah.
And you're also starting to back up left tackle, I believe. So just in general, the yards before contact, the Bears have been one of the worst in the mm-hmm. league. But then also, he just does some gadget plays, you know, whether it's running Cohen up the middle, who's not a between-the-tackles back,
right,
or trying to put the Wildcat with Cordell Patterson, and you lose 5 yards for no reason. That kind of stuff makes you mad with Matt Nagy, and that's part of the problem, but I think the offensive line is a big issue.
I think we're dialed in today, Derek, because now you just answered it. You just brought up another thing I was going to talk about and why I started laughing. So I didn't see much of the game, but I flip it on, and the Bears are on this really long 8-minute drive to start the second half. Everything's looking good. They're running the ball well. Trubisky had a nice little pass. And in fact, they end up scoring on this drive with a little screen, kind of like a wide receiver screen that I can't remember who it was took it in. It was
Anthony Miller.
And Joe Buck, who I really like. But Joe Buck was like an incredible pass from Mitch Trubisky, and they show the replay, and it was literally me throwing it out to you with this bush out here. I'm like, I could do that.
Right.
But the point is, I'm watching the game. The Bears are on this prolonged drive, and I'll be transparent. I was going against Amari Cooper, so I'm loving the fact that the Bears are eating clock here and not giving Cooper a chance, even though he had a pretty good game. So all of a sudden, you're rolling. You got first down, and the next thing you know, they go Wildcat. And somebody doesn't block, either the left guard or the left tackle don't. I mean, the left tackle just shot out like he had containment, like out by the sidelines. And then the left guard just went straight up the middle. And the next thing you know, Patterson gets dropped for five-yard loss. And I'm like, is that so Matt Nagy this year? In other words, what I mean is everything worked last year. Everything he called worked last year. And it's almost like on the flip of this to where everything he calls this year doesn't work. And if I bet Matt Nagy goes home at night and just bangs his head against the counter going, why isn't it working? I mean, last year it worked. What have I done wrong? What happened to me in a 4 or 6 month span?
Yeah, he got in a groove last year where he could throw in defensive players, whether it was Akeem Hicks running it in, and just coming up with all these fancy names for whatever they're doing in the goal line packages. But now he's overthinking himself at times, and I think maybe he got away with some of that last year. And there was still times where you scratched your head, especially I remember the season opener against Green Bay, and he got away from just doing some short-yarded stuff where you just turn around and hand your running back the ball and not do some kind of gadget play, essentially, smoke and mirrors type of stuff. So I think he's had that in the past, but this year it's been amplified, and it's frustrating.
I think it's interesting to see when Trubisky gets that swag, how much the whole team seems to respond to it. And
I agree.
I'm not one to buy into the narrative stuff that much. But, I mean, look, just to me it seemed like the defense was playing at a swarming level once the Bears scored 24 unanswered that I hadn't seen since the opening drive against the Packers at the beginning of the year.
It's true.
It seems like they genuinely dial it up another notch when the offense and Trubisky is good.
That's why I thought they were done after the first drive. Dallas marches all the way down the field, converts 2 third-and-longs, and then the drive back for the Bears. They drive a little bit, and Mitch throws the pick. Mm. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yep. It's all going to go downhill. Well, to their credit, it didn't. The Bears won 31-24. Bears now over 500. Somebody just texted in, well, he was hurt and no preseason. Talking, I assume, about Trubisky, but, you know, whose fault is that he didn't have any preseason? That's on Nagy.
On Nagy, yeah.
I mean, that's on Nagy. So
fair criticism.
That's fair.
He's still been just a bad quarterback.
Yeah, but he's been bad. I mean, it's not like all of a sudden in week 15 or whatever, 13 or 14, I guess it is, all of a sudden Trubisky's like, okay, I'm fully healthy, and now I've got all the minutes under me that I need to become an elite quarterback again. I don't think that's the case. So I'll ask you guys this. Let's say you finish 8-8. You've got at Green Bay, as mentioned, at Minnesota. Maybe you split those. Kansas City at home will be tough because you're going to have to score with them. I know you scored 31 last night, but and listen, I guess you could probably score 31 against Kansas City's defense, but you know Mahomes is going to put up 31.
Yep.
So let's say you go 8-8. Is Trubisky your guy next year?
I got to see what the last three games look like, but I'm leaning towards no. I'm pretty bought in, actually, on no, and I have been. I will be interested to see how he looks the rest of the way, but I just wouldn't feel comfortable if you run it back and say Trubisky's the guy and Daniels are number two. If you draft somebody in the second round and bring Trubisky back, then I'd feel a little bit better, but yeah. I still want to be in the conversation of who signed Teddy Bridgewater this offseason.
Right.
And then also I'm intrigued by some kind of package for Cam Newton.
Okay.
That's not, you know, an over-asked price.
How about Kyle Allen?
No.
No?
I want somebody in there. I don't want to go into next season without... I mean, Marcus Mariota's not great, but I don't want to go into next season without some type of veteran competition for Trubisky, whether that's Mariota or Teddy Bridgewater or whoever.
That's fair. It can't be a draft quarterback, right? It can't be.
To expect them to come in and start.
You guys are in win-now mode.
Right.
And I know that sounds funny, but...
Tua drops meteorically or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm with you, Trevor. I think you've got to bring... You're going to have a Mariota out there. You're going to have, you know, a guy like maybe a Cam Newton that you can trade for. There's going to be a guy out there that has taken a lot of snaps in the NFL, and I think you've got to bring a guy like that into to battle.
I just don't want to see nothing done.
Fair enough.
You know, I don't want to see them just basically say, oh, I liked enough what I saw down the stretch from Trubisky to address it 0%.
Okay. Somebody just said.
That's just my take.
No, I like it. Somebody said, get over Newton. He's done. Well,
he might be.
Yeah. I mean,
but if you give a fifth-round pick to just see.
Well, right. Carolina's gambling on Newton. They got rid of the coach instead of Newton. They got rid of Rivera.
Yeah, they might get rid of both, though.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think Kyle Allen's been fairly good for them. But I would assume he's no Cam Newton.
The interesting thing with Cam is, one, is he going to get hurt again? And even before that, is he going to be healthy coming back? He's having another surgery on his foot. And then if he decides that I'm not going to be a runner anymore, he's not a great passer.
No, and the way he passes bugs me.
Yeah, he's got a big arm.
I'm totally with you on that, by the way. The way he snaps the ball is the worst body language. He looks like he's getting old.
He's got the same cadence.
I'm talking about his stance.
Yeah.
He looks like he's half sitting on a bar stool or something when he snaps the ball. It's really weird.
And then when he throws, he like hitches or something. Can we bring up a Cam Newton snap count? Because it's the same. I've got to hear it, and then I can do it perfect. Because I'll sit there on Sundays. Like, the one game I was going against Christian McCaffrey in fantasy, so I had to watch every snap. And Newton's like, rah!
He holds on to ready.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Well, he says something for go or something like, go, ready.
Ready. It's the same thing. I'm like, stop it. Like, if you're a defensive lineman, how are you not jumping the play every time? I know exactly what you're doing.
I mean, I feel like a lot of guys do that type
of
thing.
Yeah, they do.
Like, Aaron Rodgers always says green 18s. Then
he's like Brett Favre did.
He does. Right. The great thing about Rodgers
with Manning, you know,
is right when he's done it, you know, the green 18s, when he's done that five straight times,
he goes, and then it doesn't do anything.
And it's like, okay. But Cam does the same, and then that little clap, ready. It is fun. That's funny you guys notice that, too. I don't know why that drives me nuts.
We should pull that up.
We should. We'll do that coming out if we can find it. Surely in the NFL and the technology
today.
We'll have
to do it on Derek's computer if it's working so we can pot it up on PC left.
Okay, we'll do that when we come back. I got to do a little bit of that. Oh, baby. Hey, we're going to have a Go Steever today. We're going live at 5:30. It's a Rosati's $30 voucher. Rosati's, located at 701 South Gregory in Urbana. I always get worried when Trevor stares at me halfway through a read, almost like he's going to be like, Lon, No, it is for today, so we're good. Rosati's on campus near the Krannert Center. You guys have been there. Go to GoSteever.com. Make sure you're registered. I'm getting this one today, man. Click on the offer. Hit accept. Must be used within 7 days. And we'll need you to complete a survey afterwards telling us about your experience. I've won one of these Ghost Eaters. It was to Miga Restaurant. Incredible. The survey was easy. I was able to eat at Miga within 7 days. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you use Rosati's within 7 days and get some pizza or whatever else? I mean, they got everything over there. So GhostStever.com. Make sure you get registered. And at 5:30 today, you'll have a chance to win one of a few $30 vouchers to Rosati's. Back to wrap up hour one. It is. There he is. There he is. There's Cam. There's Cam Newton. I love it. All right, there it is. I didn't. That didn't work out like I wanted.
We had it pegged.
Yeah, we had it. Yeah, we had to do it, right? You ready? All right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio, 93.5. Am I supposed to say it or not, Trevor?
Ready?
No, not that.
That's fine, whatever.
I'm having a dilemma right now.
What's your dilemma?
I don't know what, if I should say this.
Pass.
You think pass?
Say pass.
Okay, we're going to pass.
I'm lost.
Well.
Oh, the thing we were just talking
about. Yeah, that thing.
Well, I thought we already decided that.
That was funny. Oh, the thing we were just talking about. What did we decide, though? Yes or no?
Oh, we decided no.
People listening right now are like, what are you talking about? All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. We were talking about Illinois football and where they'll be going for the bowl. Next hour, we will give kind of our thoughts on where we would like for them to go and maybe who we would like for them to play. It seems as though maybe it's out with regards to who, or I'm sorry, where Illinois is going, but you're going to have to hear it from somebody else. I don't want to do it. So we don't know who, though, I don't think. Do we?
I don't know, personally.
Okay. All right, I don't either. So we'll find out. The selection show is Sunday at noon on ESPN. Which bowl for Illinois? You'll find out. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised if it's the one that we are hearing, and we'd be happy about that. But we'll talk about it when we do that next hour. We'll have Who You Got, Grab Bag Edition, and talk some more about Illinois and Maryland as they get ready to open up Big Ten player. What are some of the other Big Ten matchups in week one, or I'm sorry, in game
tonight
one.
Tonight you have Iowa, Michigan to kick it off.
Oh, that's tonight?
Which was, I believe, the first matchup last year, and Iowa beat them and rushed the court, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Now it's in Michigan.
Okay.
Tomorrow you've got Indiana, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Obviously Illinois, Maryland, and I believe Penn State, Ohio State.
Oh, well, Penn State will come back to earth in a hurry. I wonder if that's at Penn State or is that
at Ohio State.
It's in Columbus.
The only one tonight is Iowa at Michigan, 5:30 start on FS1. And then tomorrow you have Penn State, Ohio State, 11 a.m. Nebraska's playing Creighton. That's not part of the opening week.
No.
Then Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, Maryland. Sunday.
Prime time.
Northwestern at Purdue.
Oh.
Enjoy that one. Rutgers at Michigan State.
I was about ready to say it's going to be a really good one.
Rutgers
on
always plays MSU well at MSU, though. I feel like a few years in a row it's been close.
Been a fairly close game. I don't see that happening. I just don't. I don't see that happening this week. Michigan State, are they going to get right?
I don't think they're wrong, but.
Well, they're 5-3, but
they're
you're right.
They're a little wrong given expectations and where they should be.
They've played some really solid competition, so we'll see. I mean, you know, the old adage that Izzo will have them ready by March, but. You know, this is not going to be an easy Big Ten to trudge through, and this was a team that came out ranked number one in the country. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, playing Rutgers off the back can get you right. Illinois, of course, at Maryland, that's never fun. But we'll talk all about that next hour. We'll have drive time, plenty to do. A guy got fired in the NBA today. I'd never even heard his name. Can we do the game where we go through on NBA
fun.
Coaches again? And I'll tell you legitimately if I know who they are.
We got to talk about John Beilein, too.
Oh, that's right. So we'll talk a little NBA next hour, and then Who You Got, Grab Bag Edition. We'll have a lot of fun, plus our Illinois predictions. A lot to do, so stick around. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. You can also text us or call us on that same number. We are back. It is The Drive. It's Friday. Hey, it's Friday. Friday.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.